Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even as to such as are of a clean heart. So then, the true Israel, the true people of God, are defined by the state of their heart. It's not just saying, oh yes, I'm of Israel, or I've been baptized, I'm one of Abraham's seed, I'm one of the people of God. It depends what your heart is like, because God looks above all things on the heart. And the heart is the mind. It's what you're thinking when nobody's looking. That's really what's so important to God. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped right down because I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no bands in their deaths, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, they are surrounded with their own pride. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They're corrupt and speak wickedly. They speak in a very proud way. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walks through the earth. Well, the idea is that Asaph, or whoever's writing this psalm, for a moment, he slips spiritually because he sees the wicked and thinks, wow, they talk proudly, they act arrogantly, and yet they have an easy death and they have a prosperous life. And so he says, I was envious when I saw their prosperity. It's like seeing somebody with a really expensive car, with really expensive things, and think, oh, wow, everything's so good, going so good for that person when they actually don't believe. But this is the challenge of faith, that that person is going to die and all that stuff is going to perish with them, whereas those who believe are going to live forever. So, he says, they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? In other words, they act like God doesn't see. And that's, of course, how people are. But does God see? Of course God sees. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in this world. They increase in riches. Truly, this is what Asaph is thinking. I cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, well, I'll talk like this, well, then I will offend against my children to come. When I thought to know this, it was all too painful for me. So, you can think, well, it was all vain to believe in God, to believe in Jesus, to cleanse your heart, to try to watch what I'm thinking. Because these other people who don't do that, they're getting on really great in life. Well, this is, I'm sure, what a lot of people have thought down the years. That, well, it's okay for them, but for me, I try to be spiritually minded, I try not to be proud and all that, and yet I don't get all this blessing. And the point is that it's not all about blessing in this life. Sometimes see people posing for photos in front of, say, a really expensive car that's maybe parked on the street or that maybe is on display in a supermarket or a shopping centre or at an airport or somewhere. And I always think, oh, you know, is that really your dream? That could be your car? It's only a piece of metal. It is nothing. And of course, it seems that the wicked have got those things. And he says, look, I nearly slipped over spiritually because of thinking like this. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. You set them in slippery places, you threw them down to destruction. How are they brought to desolation in a moment, completely consumed with terrors? So I think he's referring to how Korah, Dathan and Abiram, and those who followed them, were destroyed. They were thrown down suddenly and the earth opened, swallowed them, and the golden or the brass censers that they'd made were taken and were turned into plates on the side of the tabernacle. Sorry, on the side of the altar that was in the tabernacle. And so they were there as a lesson for what happens to the wicked, for those who want and seek power and wealth. So Asaph goes into the sanctuary and he sees these plates on the side of the altar and he thinks, ah, I see. Sure, people seem to prosper, but in the end they are thrown down to destruction and to the grave. As a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you awake, you are going to destroy and throw down these people. So my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my heart that I had been so foolish and ignorant, like an animal, before God. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You've holden me by my right hand, and you will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. That's in the kingdom of God on earth. So he's suddenly reminded that this is what happens to people who want to be rich and powerful. They are thrown down in a moment. And even if they get away with it in this life, at the day of judgment, that's what's going to happen to them, thrown down in a moment. And in any case, they will go to the grave if they've not known the gospel and stay there forever. And he suddenly sees the truth of it. And then he thinks, oh, how so stupid to think like that. How dumb was I to even think like that? And he's pricked in his conscience. And yet he says that despite that collapse of faith, I'm continually with you and you hold my right hand. I think that's lovely, that God still holds on to you, even when you have those crises of faith. Whom do I have in heaven apart from you, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside you? That is so powerful. We have no other God. There is only one God. And here on earth, what do you have? He says, I've got nothing apart from you. My flesh and my heart fails. And in the end, that's what happens when we die. Your flesh and your heart fail. But God is the strength of my heart, and he is my inheritance forever. So we have got an inheritance coming. These people have only got what they've got in this life. For lo, those who are far away from you will perish. You've destroyed all those that go away from you, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I've put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. So in the end, there is this great division between the believer and the unbeliever. And for the unbeliever, it's all about getting on, having a great life, and having material possessions. But we know that in the end, death is the reality. It's hard when you're young to realize that, but death is a real thing. Because people die when they're young. It's just when you're young, you tend to think, well, it's not going to happen to me. But people do die when they're young. And what pleases God, I think, a great amount is when a young person says, although apparently I've got all life in front of me to enjoy, I'm not going to do that. And I give myself to God and give my best years and the prime of my life to the things of God and Jesus.